So, you know, it's interesting that this trial and this lady got neoadjuvant therapy. It doesn't seem like there's that much neoadjuvant hormonal therapy used in the United States. Supposedly it's used more, you know, in the UK and Europe. But I think one of the hesitations people have had is it doesn't seem to cause path CRs like chemo can, not that much with ER positive, but it can, and particularly with ER negative and or triple negative and HER2 positive. Do we know anything right now about hormones plus CDK in the neoadjuvant setting? Do we know if the path CR rate's higher?
So we're looking at that in this study. That's obviously one of the questions. You're absolutely right that with endocrine therapy, the rates of pathologic complete response are essentially zero. I mean, it's very rare that you actually see a complete pathologic response. But what's interesting is in small randomized trials where they've compared chemotherapy versus endocrine therapy as neoadjuvant treatment for ER-positive breast cancers, the rates of clinical response are nearly identical at about 60 to 70%. And the rates of pathologic complete response are actually very similar in the low single digits. So in a highly selected group of patients who are typically older with strongly endocrine-sensitive tumors, it looks like chemotherapy up front can accomplish what endocrine therapy up front can, or for our purposes today, vice versa. That is to say that endocrine therapy can often be as good as chemotherapy. What we don't know, and this is what this case highlights, because we'll come to the sort of surgical results in a moment, is whether you can rely on the clinical response to endocrine therapy to really predict the longer-term results and more specifically to obviate the need for chemo based on what happens with that six-month induction treatment.
Just out of curiosity, what happens with premenopausal women in your study? Did they get ovarian suppression with some other hormonal therapy or CDK, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's another excellent question. So in the study, they have the option of getting tamoxifen if they're premenopausal or, and this is the strategy I typically use, actually ovarian suppression with an aromatase inhibitor. Most of the literature with the CDK4/6 inhibitors is built around aromatase inhibitors and certainly in postmenopausal women. What's interesting is they've actually studied in the metastatic setting, premenopausal women, if you make them postmenopausal and then put them on an aromatase inhibitor, the CDK results are the same as in women who are already postmenopausal. So the literature exists for using ovarian suppression plus an AI in these patients who have metastatic disease. That's what we would typically recommend in neoadjuvant as well.
I'm trying to remember if I've heard about tamoxifen and a CDK inhibitor.
There are, you know, some small numbers of patients who've been treated. It's not part of the label or the registrational studies.
I wonder why. It seems like it would work. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
There's not a lot of commercial support for tamoxifen. It's not the current backbone for first-line metastatic disease.